The Dog and Joe Show on 93.7 The River. Call The Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
All right, 766-9370. Someone that you met was just a true disappointment. They were not who you thought they were. You looked up to them all these years. You had this respect and admiration for them. And then you meet them and you're like, ugh. I do not like you. You're different than I thought. That's what we're talking about because of this whole Evel Knievel, Travis Pastrana thing. We've learned more and more about Evel Knievel and just what kind of scuzzbucket he was. So he asked the question because I think everybody, and I don't care if it was a high school teacher, you know, when you were a kid, you know, you might go out and you're going to mow lawns or whatever, and you go into the neighborhood where the teachers live and you knock on their door and then they invite you into the house or whatever. They're like, hey, hi, Greg, come on in. You want to mow my lawn? Okay. And they feel sorry for you and they give you $5. Then you go into like the backyard to mow the lawn and you see all this weird stuff and then they invite you in the house for like a drink and if something weird would happen, they'd start freaking out or yelling at their wives or they'd have like a bunch of empty beer cans or, you know, they're just people that aren't who you think they are. They live this buttoned up life or you think they're funny or cool and then you meet them, you're like, oh my God, that's not the dude or chick I thought you were. You're different. I don't like you anymore.
The fake persona people.
That's what it is, yeah. I guess.
Yep.
766-9370. David, who did you meet?
I met Tony Casillas.
Who is that?
He was a football player. He was playing for the Dallas Cowboys at the time. And my next door neighbor coached him in middle school. Had all kinds of pictures of him growing up. Pictures of him and Tony on the sidelines at the University of Oklahoma. And Tony had bought my high school football team cleats for the season. And then at the end of the season, he came to our year-end party and did a speech, you know, telling us, you know, work hard, you know, go to stay in school.
So this is kind of the opposite then, David. You're saying that you met this guy, you met Tony Casillas, and
after his speech, I walked up to him and asked him about my next-door neighbor, if he remembered him, and he totally clueless on who the guy was, and it was just kind of disappointing after so much.
He does all this different stuff for you, and his friend really held him in high regard, and you thought your neighbor and he were really tight, but then he pulled one of those I'm a big shot, I don't know anyone that would live next to you kind of deals.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, that's the weird thing,
that
too.
That sucks when people do that.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that. Now, if you're busy or you're grumpy, you missed a flight, you know, you had a bad breakfast.
That sucks, man. Nobody wants to hear. People get so excited and they want to talk, and then you treat them like that. I don't get that.
Now, see, that's the thing. I don't like people, and I'm grumpy, and I really don't need to be around people, and I don't...
Everything you're saying is true. Yes.
I don't believe in belittling
validation
someone, though.
From here.
Yeah, you shouldn't belittle someone yourself...
You bust balls. You would never act and treat someone like that.
No, I'm not gonna go over someone and go like, no, I don't remember that guy. I mean, sometimes
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember that conversation. I mean, no one would act that way.
And my memory's decent, but sometimes, you know, we meet a lot of people or whatever. Sometimes I can't remember something if I tell you, no, I don't remember that guy. But this guy knew. This football player knew who this guy was talking about.
Had to have.
He had to have.
Had to have.
That or possibly, David, could it have been that your neighbor blew it up to be way, way more than it was?
I mean, it could be possible, but I mean, having the pictures and him standing on the sidelines and you could tell Tony knew him in the picture, you know? He was...
You see, because here's the thing,
with the photographic evidence and with, you know, a few of them hanging on the walls that show that you've known the guy for...
They donate stuff to the school, the team.
He knew who he was.
See, and that's the thing, too. You got to be careful, because every time someone knows someone, you see, there's different levels of knowing. Just because you shook a hand, just because you got a photo once or twice, that doesn't mean that you've been in there and had dinner with them and that you've hung out. See, there's a lot of times when people really want to star suck, if you will. I got to use the word suck because they want more connection and they want more time with this person. And then when they're out around town, they're like, oh, yeah, me and Robert Redford did this and did that. Oh, me and De Niro, me and him, me and me. You know, everybody knows this guy and everyone's got this story. But when you come to find out, it's like... No, I don't really know him, man. He was doing a gig with Circus in the late 70s, and, like, he signed my T-shirt. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
But everyone wants to have this connection to a famous person. So I don't know what happened with Tony Casillas and your neighbor or what, but that's a lot of times what happens. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, good morning. Welcome.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing great, bro.
Hands free, free.
Oh, well, there it is.
You are never
welcome.
All right. So about, I think it was 6-7 years ago, I met you, Craig, for the first time. I was working at a big box store there in Lodi. And I have been listening to you guys for a long time, man.
Tell me the big box store. Now you got my curiosity.
It was Home Depot, man.
Oh, Home Depot. Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to hear this.
I was in the rental department. I talked to you a few times since then about
it. Oh, yeah. But yeah. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. What's going on? Actually, I've never been in the rental department. Who are you? I've never met you. Why would I be in the rental department? That's so beneath me.
My God, no. You would never go there.
Yes, I don't rent tools. I buy them, and then I throw them away.
Because at the time, we had something you wanted, but it got stolen, so we didn't have it anymore. But anyways.
I remember that story. I remember that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries. Anyways. You know, I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I knew you were a ball buster, and, you know, you were kind of a jerk on the radio and very truthful and honest. So when I first saw you, I didn't know who the hell you were until you opened your mouth, you know, and I was like, oh, wow, I know who this guy is. And you were looking for something outside the store somewhere else, and I was like, come on, I'll take you. Let me show you where it's at. You know, I definitely want you to have a good experience, because I know how you can slander a ball bust on the radio.
Well, hold on, slander? No, come on, slander's not true. I don't. I'm not in the business of slandering.
No, you're right.
He's in the business of ball busting.
Yeah, I like telling the truth, and sometimes if it's slanderous, that's not my intent.
No, brutally honest. So, you know, I was a little bit nervous. I was like, oh man, I know this. We just opened the store too, and I was like, oh man, this guy can make us or break us, in a sense.
Hold on, you gotta stop right there. The comedy is
a lot of credit being put on this man's shoulders.
Yeah, you think I can I can shut a Home Depot down. Wow, that's very kind of you, sir. That's one of the nicest things anyone's ever said or thought of me. That I have the power to shut down a Home Depot.
It could probably shut down a home or a depot, but not a Home Depot.
No.
That was a little extreme, but you get what I'm saying.
I can't get a call back from a manager at True Value.
Yeah, he can't even get a Facebook page.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
He's not shutting down anything. He's been trying to get the store that rhymes with beers closed down for years now.
Yeah.
He got no shutdown power.
It's working. You know, after dealing with you for a few times, you know, I was like, man, that guy's not a jerk at all. I just took care of him what he needed, you know, and I was disappointed in the sense that, man, you weren't a dick at all. You were pretty cool.
Well, that's because on the air, he's not a jerk and or a dick. He's just cantankerous. He likes to argue, I think. I think you like to
here's the thing,
disagree.
I remember the occasions, and here's the thing. If you came out and you want to help me, and you're gonna bust your hump, and you're going to serve me, well, that's all anyone wants. That's not just me. That's anybody. When you go in and someone's going to bend over backwards or spend the time and listen, and then they're actually going to walk around and take you to do what it is you need, there's nothing. That's the thing. I don't bitch just to bitch. If everything's going good and going my way, I don't have a problem. People think that I look for problems.
I may disagree with that just a smidge.
Jerry Seinfeld stopped by today, everybody. I don't go out of my way looking for trouble, but if it's out there, that's when I really come alive, and that's where I'll call it what it is. But if you were good to me, I have no reason to be a dick or to call you out on anything or be grumpy. I mean, if you're doing your job and you're helping me out, that's all anybody wants, not just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. Ever since that first time I met you, you know, anytime I seen your truck out there, I was like, oh, where's he at? I better make sure he's getting everything.
See, that's where it gets creepy. That's where I back off, because now he's looking for my truck and he knows what I drive.
Yep.
You know, and that's where I'm like, okay, whoops-a-daisy.
You park in the same spot every time, dog, right outside the rental department.
Yes, he does.
The same spot.
It's probably as far away from an exit door or an entrance door as you can get, and there ain't nobody parking around him. Yep.
I see Bubba, I know Bubba. You know, I mean, you've had it for long enough.
That's getting creepy. This guy's been putting you to warm bath now.
Yeah, I went from really thinking you're a cool guy to I'm going to call the sheriff.
Yeah,
wow.
Have a little Keanu.
No, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate all the work and help you always gave me. That's a nice thing to say. So thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. Let's go to Norm. Norm, good morning. Someone that you met who was just rotten. They weren't who you thought they were. Welcome. What's going on? Norm, you with us?
Yeah, Rob, Arnie, and Don.
Oh, whoa, the guys.
Did you get a chance to meet those guys one time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to live in Nevada, and I used to listen to them on the radio. And then one day, I played softball, and Rob, Arnie played softball too, and that guy can't play ball. He plays worse than a girl. Yeah. I swear to God.
Again, I wasn't there, so I don't know if these accounts are accurate, but I still love hearing them, and everyone knows they're on across town, and they know they're on the same time we are. And this is what I'm just going to say. I'm just going to make this easy.
I know Arnie, though, and I know about the way he walks and runs. And I can't even imagine the guy could move from first to second base if he did hit a baseball. Yeah. He's got bad knees.
I'm not going to go on this tangent about any of them. I'm just going to say what he has said is 100% true. I've met them all. I've spent time with them, and the only good person on that show is the one that everyone hates the most, and it's Don. Don's the only genuine, sincere person from that show, and she was always nice and always kind. Everyone else?
Well, now there's another sincere person on there. My buddy still is on that show, Brando.
Yeah.
He's not a liar.
I don't know about him or anything, but yeah, I appreciate the call. 766-9370. Lots of stories of people who have met that show and things that have gone wrong when they've met him. In fact, I've met him, and I can validate and verify each and every one of them.
True.
Yeah, awful.
As can I.
Who did you meet, Joe? Who was someone that you met and you're like, wow?
Well, I've talked about him before. We won't know him out here because he was back in Cincinnati where I grew up. He worked on the big rock station back there. His name was Wildman Walker.
Okay, so a radio guy. He's a DJ, yeah.
DJ. And he was the morning guy for forever and ever and ever. And then he went to the afternoons as he, you know, got a little bit older. And I met him as a young kid, about 12.
Uh-huh.
And just got to, not met him, but we all got to go down and see him. He was doing a stunt on top of a billboard.
For big radio stunt. Yeah. Hey, let's stand on a billboard until someone sees me. We're going to raise money for charity, baby. Yeah. Now, I might fall down because it's windy. You never know. I'm going to risk my life for you and the kids over at the hospital.
And they were talking about him doing secret partying up there when the people would go away. And, you know, he would sneak girls up there.
The truth of the matter is he's popping anxiety pills, and he's probably scared to death that he is going to fall off, and he doesn't like it, and someone conned him into doing it, and he had to go up there and do it, and now he hates it.
Yeah, after what I found out later on, truth of the matter, he was up there cursing out everybody, and God hates me, and whatever, you know, whatever else he was doing. So this is years later now. Uh-huh. I was about 12 when that all happened. Now, uh-huh. Now I'm working here in town, and I got luckily picked to go be a ambassador for Jose Cuervo, a spokes guy for Jose Cuervo.
He had to go to Jamaica and this whole deal.
Yeah, the islands, Bahamian Islands. Jose Cuervo Nation, they called it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm there as a young kid, but I'm there with like some big name dudes, you know, yeah. Like a big guy from down in L.A. And as I get there, they tell me, I don't know if you know this guy, but you're from back in the Midwest. You ever heard of this guy, Wildman Walker? He's on. I go, you got to be damn kidding me. He's coming here? And I was just ecstatic about it. I just could not believe.
It's like your radio idol.
This guy was going to be doing that. I had finally made it to the same place this guy was. I was going to meet him now,
yeah.
Working in his field. I was just so excited. So he's the last person to show up. Everybody else is there, right?
Sure.
He comes in on a little float plane.
Oh, he's got his own special transportation?
Yeah. So he flies in. He lands on a little float plane.
Yeah. Okay. And I've never heard of this guy before you told me this story, by the way.
And I am stoked.
Uh-huh.
So here I am, a little buzzed up, and I'm down here waiting at the dock with everybody else down here. I want to meet him now. You know what I mean?
Taking his own little special jump plane in. Wow.
Well, he gets off the plane.
Yeah.
And it takes about 15 minutes for him to even get out of the plane.
Uh-huh.
He is an old man with long, stringy white hair.
Yeah.
Fat. Decrepit.
Yeah.
He's got a knee brace on, and he can barely walk.
Yeah.
He's got flip-flops on and awful feet. Awful feet.
Stinks. Pause right here. Why do you look? Here's the thing. If a chick's
man doesn't need to expose toes.
But why does another man need to look at another man's toes? We all know what's at the bottom of our ankles.
I have an affliction with bad feet, and okay, my eyes are constantly drawn to them.
You know, unless someone's got like some sort of amputation or some sort of deformity, everyone has a foot beneath the ankle, and at the end of the foot you have toes, and on the other end you have a heel. You know what is there. Why must you look down on a guy?
I don't know.
Why does it magnetically suck your eyes to their feet?
I don't know.
It's awful.
But it only takes a second to see a chiclet toe.
Yeah.
That's it. There's old, and you know the kind of
like
guy
described. Cheeto.
He's got a Cheeto on top of his foot. At any rate, now he's pissed because the plane took too long to get there. Now he's the last one here. So he gets off the plane.
Hold on, though. Okay, so he's not only is he just looking old and haggard in appearance, and he's got Cheeto toes, and he just looks weathered and beaten, but he's pissed off that he's late. I just want to focus on that because here's the thing. A guy with the name like Wildman Walker, see, he's going to come out of the plane acting as if he's pissed off that he's late and he's going to throw a big tantrum. But deep down inside, he wants to be the late guy.
He's supposed to be late, isn't he?
Yeah, he wants to be the fashionably cool guy that, oh, I was partying all night, man. I was partying so hard I hit my knee on a hooker's forehead, and that's why I'm late. He wants everyone to think that he's late and fashionably late. And deep down, he's throwing a tantrum that's man-made.
I wanted to believe that. Mm-hmm. I wanted that door to come open on that little float plane, and I wanted it to look like Spicoli's bus. Uh-huh. That was the wild man walker I envisioned. That was the guy I left on top of the billboard back in Cincinnati. This guy hated his job. And, I mean, I think you can all guess where it went to from that. I mean, he gave me a quick little, hey, how you doing? Kind of dismissed it as we were walking off.
So he just brushed you off real quick, didn't care.
Later on, a very nice man down from down south, a big-name DJ, had introduced me to Wild Man Walker there on the island. Was like, hey, this young kid, he's an up-and-comer. He grew up in the city where you are.
He used to listen to you. He
listens to you, loves you. Yeah. Spent about 30 seconds talking to me. Hated the city. Hated the radio station.
Oh, he's telling you this.
Yes, and I'm just, at the end of it all, I was just like, God, I was only in radio maybe 6 years, maybe a year and a half at a full-time on-air gig.
Yeah.
It's heaven to me.
Yeah.
And he just killed it. Just killed everything about it.
And ultimately, he hates you because he hated the city, hated the station, and you were there when he was miserable, and you listened to him, so he hated you.
I'm just a reminder of that awful hell that he just came from.
Wow.
And now he's not even working full-time, so I can't even imagine how angry the man is now.
Well, it's probably because he bought the Bahamas.
It's just crazy.
A guy like that, I mean, all the riches he's had, he probably bought the whole damn thing. He probably owns Cuervo now. It's probably called Wild Man Cuervo.
Yeah, I wish you could have seen the float plane.
Was it kind of rickety?
Yeah, I may not have been thinking that. Yeah, it was rough. It was rough all the way around. It was just a bad experience for me. It really broke my heart, man.
That's the stuff I'm talking about. You wait all this time to meet someone, or they turn out to be someone different than you thought. 766-9370.
You got one?
I do. Got someone else here that wants to talk about that other show over there. He said that he also has a bad experience. We're not going to talk about the other show because I know if we did that, we could spend a full day with bad experience stories from the other show. So, Brian, I appreciate it, but we're good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I do have one, and I think everybody knows. I love Van Halen. I don't know what it is.
No kidding.
When I heard the music, when I, I grew up with it, it was just, it grabbed me. And just everything about it when you were a kid, man, the hair, the shirts, the jumping, the guitar, the paint, just the music, the lyrics, everything about it to me was rock and roll done the right way. I just loved it. And they never took anything serious. They never wore the makeup. They never wore the spandex, really.
I thought they did wear spandex.
Dave and Sammy did a little bit, but they were front man. But the guys were just down to earth, just studio music rats. They just wanted to play and drink beer and make music, and I just always loved that about them. And well before Sammy, they had Cubic Zirconia Dave. And that's why I call him Cubic Zirconia Dave, because all these years they called him Diamond, and I looked up to him. He was on all these posters in my room, and I always just thought, man, this is cool. So I have a chance to meet him in Portland. Bad Company with Paul Rogers opens up. This is a damn good show, and I got front row tickets. And what he had, David Lee Roth.
Are you working on the radio now in Portland?
Yeah, I'm in Portland.
Okay.
I'm in Portland. And I had interviewed Dave on the phone a few days before so we could sell some tickets and all that. He was on the phone. We had fun. On the phone, you don't know who it is you're talking to, and you're playing a game with people, and you got to kind of figure them out.
And sometimes they're always a little cooler on the phone, too.
Oh, they're always. Oh, yeah. They're all, because that's when they want to sell the ticket.
Is that what it is?
They want to sell the book.
They don't have to make the journey in person kind of a thing.
Yeah, they don't actually have to look face to face with the people they're talking to. They just want to hawk something. So you always get a better person on the phone or when you're interviewing them. So I go backstage, and he's got this club, this Dave Nation Club Dave thing going on. And we go back in there, and everyone's partying, and there's all kinds of hot chicks. And I'm with my wife, and I'm like, whoa. I'd never, ever, in all the years I'd done radio up to that point, had met Dave. I'd met them all multiple times, time and time again, 10, 15 times, Dave and Sammy and all the guys. I'm sorry, Eddie and Sammy and all the other band members. I'd met them all. And so then we go back from Club Dave, and we're going to go back into Dave's dressing room. And this is so cool when you can see the animal in its actual environment.
Yeah, the behind the scenes is a really neat experience.
You walk in through the cave, and you go through the tunnels, and we go in, and it was me and another dude I worked with, and my wife and his manager. And all we do is we walk in, And he's in there, and he's got this little boombox. And I've told this story before. And he's got all these cassettes in, like, a Target bag. His shirt's off. He reeks of BO. He hasn't even been on stage yet. This is in between Bad Company and him, okay?
Oh, he's getting ready to take
stage. He's getting ready to go. And that's what else is cool. Because when you have a chance to meet a band before they go on, it's so much cooler because they're ramped up. Yep. They're in the zone. They've either got a bunch of cocaine in them or booze, and they're all pumped up. They're excited. They're ready to go out and do what it is they do. If you meet them after the show, they're sweaty and tired. If the crowd was bad, you're going to get the brunt of it. They're not going to want to talk to you. So I got to meet him before he goes on, and we walk into the dressing room. He's got, like, cigarettes all fanned out over his wardrobe cases. His clothes is all unlaundered. He's in there like he's trying to sell us a used car from a rental lot.
Meaning what? Like, he's just going through showing off his stuff?
And he's just saying the same stories he said all these years, and he's being a pitch man, and he's trying to sell snake oil, and it's a shell game. And he's just in there doing this shtick that no one really cares about, and he's saying all this stuff that isn't funny, and he's talking to my other buddy about how beautiful, you know, Oregon is, and the river, and blah, blah, blah. And it's all this just horse crap, and all I wanted to do is I just wanted to walk back and go, dude, for years and years and years, forever, finally this happened. That's all I need is to shake a hand.
And he's trying to put on a big snake oil production.
And it's just, he's just a carny. And I'm looking at this guy, and I knew rock and roll was gritty, and I knew it was dirty, and I know they travel on the road. But that night...
Think he was on drugs?
Oh, yeah, he was revved up on something.
That's probably got a lot to do with it.
He was revved up, and he wouldn't answer any questions. He didn't want to talk, and he bounced around the room because he's so uncomfortable in that situation that's so intimate. He couldn't be a real dude.
What would you say a number of people were in there? Six?
No, there was me, my wife, a guy named Al, his manager, him. Five people.
That's it.
This was a really cool, you know, behind the stage thing. And I think it drove him crazy because it was too intimate. He didn't have a crowd or a stage to perform on. It was like real deal.
Right in your face.
It was too connected and too small. It was too quaint. He didn't know how to do it. And so I'm like, okay, I forgive him for that. Maybe that was uncomfortable. You know, we're coming into his dressing room. But he just kept going and going. And the more stuff he said and the more behavior I saw, it took the gritty rock and roll that I loved and just made it carnival, carny, oh, gypsy. Man. And he smelled bad, and he was just dirty, and he was revved up. And I'm like, dude, I know that you used to party back in the day, and I appreciate all of that. But he just gave me this behind the scenes that I went out, my wife and I, we just kind of stared at each other while he's on stage. And we were just so disappointed the way he behaved and the way he acted and the stuff he was saying.
Sucks.
And never in my life when I've met Eddie, I don't know, 20 times. I've met Sammy 15, 20 times. I've met all these guys. Each and every time, they were perfect gentlemen. They did funny stuff. They were real. And if they were grumpy, they were grumpy. Steven Tyler, I've met him. I met Perry, Joe Perry of Aerosmith. I met all these different guys, and they all just knew how to put on this cool rock and roll face. And Dave couldn't do it because he's sludge. He really is a dirty, seedy, phony guy. And it just bummed me out. And I was like, man, you've ruined the greatest rock and roll band and what I thought of you and my whole image of rock and roll with about a 10-minute meeting, and it'll never change. Now I see him talk and I see him, you know, I still go watch him play.
Sure.
But it's like, Dave, you ruined rock and roll for me. That's why he's Cubic Zirconia Dave now.
Of all the people and all the stories and all the folks you've met and come across and whatever, you've told me some good stories about Phil Anselmo and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Dave.
It's Dave.
It's him, huh?
The guy from my band is the guy that wrecked rock and roll for me.
And I mean, he's dog has had the fortune of meeting a lot of cool people, dude.
I really have. I've been lucky. Mean, it's been fun.
A lot of cool people.
So, 766-937, you know what we got to do today? We haven't even got to the horse race hooky.
Oh, yeah.
We got three chances. We're going out to Cal Expo. The fair opens up on Thursday, Friday night, horse racing.
Woohoo!
We're going to be there at the Turf Club, indoors and outdoors. We got the buffet. We're going to give you some gambling vouchers. It's going to be a good time if you can get away from work this Friday. The race starts at 3 o'clock. Scratch that. 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get you and a guest in. Horse race hooky. We'll give you the details here shortly, and you can play. Hold on.